No strike just yet.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Delta Airlines can breathe a little easier this morning. Its pilots will stay off the picket lines for now. Delta reached a tentative deal with the union yesterday that could save $150 million a year. Rank-and-file pilots still have to approve the 14% pay cut. The airline wants a bigger deal in the long run. The union says it's still prepared to strike if tensions flare up again. The nation's farmers have a different labor problem. They don't have enough workers to harvest the winter crops. And as Stacey Vanek Smith reports, winter could turn into summer.
Since 9/11, the border between the U.S. and Mexico has tightened considerably, and because roughly 80% of the farm labor force in the U.S. is made up of illegal immigrants, growers say they're facing a crisis. Tom Nassif heads up the trade group Western Growers Association. He says the labor shortage will have dire results for agriculture.
The fewer workers you have, the higher the wages are going to go. Raising the cost of production is going to start making it uneconomical for farmers to continue to farm in the United States.
But the root of the problem isn't border security, it's a lack of regulation, says labor expert Gary Chason.
A large part of it's due to the lack of a policy in general on how to recruit and certify and maintain an agricultural labor force in the United States.
One possible solution is President Bush's guest worker proposal, but Chason says that plan is still in developmental phases. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
The hurricane season was pretty harsh on the country's sugar industry. As a result of plant shutdowns, the price of refined sugar shot up from 28 cents to more than 40 cents a pound. Today, a little bit of sweet news. A huge plant in Louisiana reopens. Dan Gretsch reports from WLRN in Miami.
The Domino Sugar Refinery in Chalmette, Louisiana is the country's largest. It produces nearly a million tons of refined sugar a year, almost one-fifth of the national supply. Domino President and CEO Brian O'Malley.
The Chalmette plant produces every product that the company makes. It would range from one-pound boxes up to 200,000-pound rail cars.
Katrina flooded the plant, destroying equipment and dissolving 24 million tons of stored sugar. Mickey Scyther was plant manager during the storm.
People said that this plant would never open again because it sustained so much damage, but our employees proved that wrong.
The plant employs 300 people, and many of them are still living in FEMA trailers in the Domino parking lot. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
It's like a bad dream for NBC Universal. The company was in talks with Steven Spielberg's DreamWorks for almost a year. Then over the weekend, Viacom's Paramount swooped in and bought the studio. The deal's worth about $1.6 billion. At the box office, it was all about a lion, a witch, and a wardrobe. The Chronicles of Narnia trounced other films with a $67 million take. Wall Street rebounded a little Friday to make up for a tough week. The Dow finished up 23 points to 10,778. The S&P 500 index climbed 3 to 1,259. And the NASDAQ ended 10 points higher at 2,256. Today, gold is still soaring. It opened at $538 an ounce in London. Oil's trading at about 59.5. This is Marketplace. It's fair to say the animal rights group PETA and the Ringling Brothers Circus don't get along very well. Today's the deadline for the circus to file documents in the latest PETA lawsuit. But as Gretchen Cook reports, this suit isn't about animal abuse.
PETA says Ringling's owner, Kenneth Feld, hired spies in a bid to discredit the group and undermine its nonprofit status. Possible damages could top $1 million. But Business Ethics magazine editor Marjorie Kelly says the circus stands to lose ticket sales, too, because people do care about how its four-legged performers are treated.
To pretend that they can just blame it on PETA and try to silence this critic, they're seriously misreading the public mood.
Feld has already been fined $50,000 for obstruction in the case, which goes to trial in February. PETA's suit comes at a time when traditional circuses are losing ground to animal-free shows like Cirque du Soleil. In Washington, I'm Gretchen Cook for Marketplace.
From American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Fannie Mae, working with our partners to increase homeownership and affordable rental housing opportunities for more Americans. Fannie Mae. FannieMae.com. And by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, helping nearly 3 million members achieve financial security and give back to their communities and congregations. Thrivent.com. Transportation reporting is supported by the American Public Transportation Association, providing transportation designed to help older Americans lead healthy, active lives at publictransportation.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Over the weekend, the United Auto Workers agreed to help Ford with health care costs for hourly employees. It's part of Ford's plan to turn around the company. What we've heard so far is pretty drastic, up to 30,000 job cuts, 10 plant closings or more. I asked Newsweek's Alan Sloan how Ford's troubles compared to GM's.
They've got car models that have not been, you know, terribly attractive to the customers. They've got the same health care and pension problems that General Motors has. They're competing against the same basically Asian companies that are assembling cars in this country. And they've got the same problems. It's just the numbers are smaller. To judge whether one or the other is more severe is like comparing two different kinds of infections. It doesn't matter. Both the patients are sick.
What do you think Ford is trying to become through this turnaround plan?
They're trying to cut back to a level where they think they can run their plants at full capacity. They're trying to make a deal with United Auto Workers about health care and other costs and hope the market turns and that something happens to make things better.
But is waiting for the market to turn really a strategy?
Well, what do you suggest they do, Scott?
Well, that's what I'm asking. I don't know. Besides cutting jobs and closing plants, what else can they do?
In the long run, you'd say, gee, they should see if they can figure out how to do whatever it is the Asian companies are doing in the United States, because the Asian companies in the United States are expanding. I can tell you what they ought to accomplish. Anybody can tell you what they ought to accomplish. The question is, what do you do now? And now the only thing they could possibly do is cut back, hope the market turns, and then if the market turns, take all the money that they would then make and invest it in trying to get ahead of the game.
So what do you think will happen to these employees if Ford cuts this many and GM's cutting this many and we have thousands and thousands of people in communities across the country out of work?
Well, most of these people will take early retirement. They're not going to be devastated. They're not going to work as long as they would have liked to have worked. But as long as Ford and General Motors keep up their end of the current contract, you're going to have mostly people taking early retirement rather than having people thrown out on the street at the age of 23 without employment. And then the other thing that happens is the more retirees that these companies have over a smaller workforce, you run into the same kind of problem GM has, where it has 3.5 times as many retirees and dependents as it has active employees, and the burden on the active employees to pay for this, the numbers get very, very bad.
Alan Sloan's Wall Street editor for Newsweek. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
It is that time of year when newspapers.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.